Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It's a new day of FFC, one day away from the full start of week number one of the NFL preseason. A doubleheader of games on Thursday that we'll look at and detail what it means for these organizations moving forward into 2024's NFL campaign and all of the news and notes that you need around the National Football League. Scott, as we well know, training camp brings a ton of information. We cipher through all of the updates, we say what it means for the odds outlook, and we have a conversation about some drama perhaps in Philadelphia on this Wednesday edition of Football Full Circle.
Yes, I did see that. Not really good news if you're an Eagles fan and you hope that the end of last year was just a fluke because clearly there's some issues between Jalen Hurts and their head coach Nick Sirianni. You mentioned it, got a list here and we'll go over it here in a little while of the quarterback situations. Again, you know, I mentioned this yesterday, Ben. You know, it's nice to know who's playing, who's not playing, but don't think just because a guy may be starting, he's going to be playing the whole game. You know, don't think, wow, I got the starting quarterback for, you know, pick a team, the San Francisco 49ers playing against a team that's got the reserve playing. But, you know, that's really not the case. A lot of it is just one possession, two possessions. But it is nice to know just the mindset of the head coach going into some of these games. Like, we know Baltimore wants to win preseason games, right? One of the best preseason game teams that you can bet on. So little nuggets like that still looking for as we enter our first full weekend of preseason football.
Absolutely so, because the handicap for preseason, of course, is much different than what we will see throughout the regular season. We can quantify things. We have a sample size. We know everybody wants to win. And for the most part, we know who is available on the roster. You have to do your tracking to figure out who might start or even play in a preseason game. And what is that mentality of the organization entering a preseason game? Does it matter or does it not mean all that much? And will the game follow suit? Now, Scott, I haven't read the entirety of this ESPN report that came out early this morning about an interesting disconnect between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts at the end of last year. Of course, the Philadelphia Eagles were 10-1, had the best record in the National Football League, a team that played in a Super Bowl the year prior against Kansas City out in Phoenix, seemed primed to be back to that stage midway through last year, even about two-thirds of the way through last year. Then the Eagles started to struggle. They dropped five of their last six regular season games. They earned a wild card spot, losing out on the division. The Cowboys coming from behind and taking the NFC East crown. And the Eagles were bounced early and often in a dismal postseason effort on the road against the Buccaneers, despite being a favorite in that game in Tampa. And this ESPN report details some disconnect between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni at the end of last year. It is interesting, Scott, because we know Sirianni is not necessarily involved in the offensive game plan. And despite this disconnect, you would actually think the main issue in Philadelphia last year was how porous the defense was at the end of last season. It was Matt Patricia. It was Sean Desai. Regardless of who it was, it did not work out. But Scott, were you able to parse through any of this report and see anything that caught your eye?
Yeah, I did. Same as you. I couldn't read. It's a long report. So I read about two-thirds of it, said where I basically said, all right, I got the gist of this thing, right? So clearly there's an issue between Sirianni and Hurts. Clearly to me, it's two things, really. It's one Sirianni trying to be the head coach. I'm the boss, you know, so you're going to do what I say, whether you're the offensive coordinator or you're the star quarterback. And then the other side is it's Jalen Hurts willing to accept that. You know, Jalen Hurts is saying, I'm making $55 million a year. You know, it's 2024, coach. You know, you're no longer the boss around here. I'm making 10 times more than you're making. Well, maybe not 10, but, you know, 5 to 6, 7 times more than what you're making. And you know what? They could fire you. They really can't fire me. And that's the gist of it to me that I get, that Sirianni wants to do things his way and Hurts doesn't want to run the offense that he wants to run. He doesn't want Sirianni to be hands-on. He had his boy in there, Brian Johnson, as the offensive coordinator. That didn't work out. And it's just there is a rift between what the two want, how they want to run the offense. And I don't know why that would be. I mean, listen, I'm not an offensive genius here, Ben, but I mean, how different can it possibly be? You know what you have in Jalen Hurts, right? He can scramble and he can throw the football. I mean, what does he want to do? Hand the ball off 3 out of 4 times, and that's ticking Jalen Hurts off. But that's what I got out of it. It's just I'm making $55 million, and I want to do what I want to do. And you're the head coach, and it's up to the head coach to kind of show that you're making that kind of money, but I'm still the boss.
Yeah, it seems to me, Scott, that at the end of last year, things got weird between Brian Johnson, who was the offensive coordinator and the former quarterbacks coach, under, of course, Shane Steichen, who was the OC the year the Eagles won the NFC and played in a Super Bowl. And the reports entering last year, despite the changes in coordinators, was that Hurts and Brian Johnson had this great rapport. So it would be like picking up where they left off under Shane Steichen. Of course, that it did not seem to be the case. And maybe Nick Sirianni sensed that and wanted to change the offensive course. I'm not entirely sure. Again, I have not read the report, so I'm not going to start spreading misinformation or try to disparage this report for something I have not had a chance to read as of this moment. But I think we can all admit that it was an interesting end of the year in Philadelphia. It was a disastrous end to the year. But I think if you look at the Eagles, Scott, and you try to wash away how last year ended, right? That's the hope. Okay, hey, it was terrible. We'll learn from it, but we'll learn from it and get better in the year following. The idea being part of that growth and improvement for Philly entering this year is the change in the coordinating staff under Nick Sirianni, who is seen as that CEO type head coach, the overviewer of everything, but not intimately involved in the schematics or the game plan on either side of the football, offensively or defensively. And that's why you go out and you hire Kellen Moore, who was one of the young up-and-coming OCs in Dallas, went to LA last year for the Chargers. Of course, that didn't work out. An entire coaching staff change in Los Angeles, but still seen as somebody with a bright future in the sport of football. And it's why you go get Vic Fangio, who I believe is one of the best defensive minds in the National Football League, to become your defensive coordinator in Philly. So if you have those talented coordinators in place, you would hope, Scott, that it stems some of the issues that plagued the end of last season.
You would think, but, you know, like you said, it wasn't a Brian Johnson thing that, like, he came in and he was all bad. It was a Brian Johnson and Jalen Hurts versus Sirianni thing. And while Johnson was, according to this report anyway, and while Johnson was calling the plays, there were many times they were saying that Sirianni would overrule him. And you know, these two would go get ticked off. And then there were many times where Sirianni would call a play and then Johnson and Hurts would run a different play just because they wanted to, you know. So it was a rift. They said, you know, in the report that Sirianni kind of addressed the team this season and basically said it was my fault, it was on me, everything that happened last year, taking responsibility. But it didn't make it seem like, okay, both sides are on the same page now. It wasn't a, you know, everything's going to end all happily here in Philadelphia. That is one thing I got from the report, that there still seems to be a little, you know, me versus EC with the Philadelphia Eagles, and nothing really changed from last year.
And that's the concern, right? That this was not just a blip on the radar from last year. The relationship has been ironed out. The logistics have been ironed out, and they're ready to go for 2024. That is the fear right now if you are Philly. I think it will be interesting to hear from Sirianni and or Hurts after this report has been published, the next time those two are available at training camp practice for the Eagles, what they have to say about the report. If they say it's malarkey, it's not an issue, we're all good, or how they approach now having to do damage control, Scott, after this report from ESPN.
Yeah, and I think there are still issues there. I mean, really, to me, it's up to Hurts to just say, okay, you know what? There's a pecking order in life, and no matter how much money I make, no matter how many friends I have on my side, if the head coach wants this, then we got to do this. But again, this is 2024. It's not necessarily dead man walking, but I do think that if Philadelphia falls flat this year, Nick Sirianni won't be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles next season.
Yeah, completely agree with that, Scott. It has to work this year. They have to get back to the winning standards that they had in 2022. Once you get to the mountaintop, or at least to a Super Bowl, you are expected to get back there. And with all that has been invested in the contract money this offseason, needs to happen for the Birds in 2024. Elsewhere around the National Football League, up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He's got some wide receiver news around the National Football League. Let's start with the trade request made by Brandon Ayuk. The Niners said they would not warrant it. Now they are taking calls and receiving interest. And there were a couple of teams that were floated that had put out calls to the San Francisco 49ers. Those included the Pittsburgh Steelers, who as of yesterday were out of the running. And then one of the teams that was invested, the New England Patriots, as we got a report from ESPN's Adam Schefter last night, were interested, made some calls to John Lynch and the front office by the Bay, but now have pulled out of the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes for the services of the wide receiver out of San Francisco. Scott, what are you starting to make of this situation? That San Francisco would not warrant the trade request, then they said they would be interested in listening to trade requests, and they've had a couple of teams approach them, but the two main front runners, at least, that have been reported at this moment, the Steelers and the Pats, are now no longer interested.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, Pittsburgh, I understand, because I don't think they would want to pay top dollar. I guess New England, I understand, Ben, in that Ayuk is probably saying, you know I want a lot of money, but do I really want to go to a team that might be the worst team in the NFL with a rookie quarterback? You know, that you talk about going from the top to the bottom. Or does he tell himself, all right, if I wait 1 year, I'm going to, you know, unless I get hurt, I'm going to have a good year, and the market's only going to go higher. So I got a feeling this might be more Ayuk saying, I don't want to negotiate a new contract, and no team's going to trade for him, right? You're not going to give up what you're going to have to give up to acquire him without knowing you could sign it to a long-term contract. So I got a feeling it's more Ayuk, you know, being the stumbling point than it is San Francisco. I get the sense San Francisco, for whatever reason, is willing to move on. Maybe it's because Ricky Pearsall has shown so much in training camp, the rookie out of Florida, that they say, well, you know what, we might not miss him as much as we thought we would. But I got a feeling it's more Ayuk's camp than anybody else's.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, because at least in my estimation, Scott, right, there's so much that goes into this situation. The reason Brandon Ayuk is unhappy with the 49ers to begin is because he did not receive a contract extension this offseason at the end of his fourth year, meaning that this fifth season he is playing under the final year of his rookie deal. He wants to be paid like we have seen others from his draft class, Justin Jefferson and maybe CeeDee Lamb at some point, get those deals. It has not happened with the 49ers. So now you need a trade partner with San Francisco that is willing to offer up what I would deem valuable trade capital. You would expect at least a couple of early round draft picks going back to the 49ers to make it enticing enough for them to send away Brandon Ayuk. And then you need the team that just gave up draft capital to deem Brandon Ayuk worthy enough to pay him this new contract and deal. Probably something close to $28 million, $30 million per year, just given where the market is. There's a lot of those complicating factors, and that's where all of this becomes very, very interesting. Where I'm not confident, Scott, at this moment, that Brandon Ayuk is actually going to be moved at a certain point this preseason.
I don't think so either. I didn't think so before, because I didn't think San Francisco really wanted to move him. But now I accept the fact I think they would trade him, but I don't think they will because of what you just said. I mean, that's a lot to give up. You know, could the Patriots theoretically do it? Could you make him a top five wide receiver and fit him in salary cap wise because they have a rookie quarterback? Yep, you know, they could. But that's, you know, giving up a first round draft choice, I would think, for Ayuk, or a high second, obviously, depending on how bad the Patriots are, and then having to pay the guy $30 million a year or so, that's asking a lot. It really is. So it's tough to make deals in the NFL. With the salary cap being as it is, it's not as easy as in the other sports. So, but ultimately, I don't think he's going to get moved. And what does that mean for him and his attitude and everything else? If it's more him, then it's like, okay, that's fine. If it's more San Francisco, then you might have a problem child on your hands.
Yeah, absolutely so. Scott, other wide receiver news, but not in a good way right now. One of the realities of training camp and preseason football is there is going to be some injuries that cause concern. We start in Indianapolis, where second-year wide receiver Josh Downs out of North Carolina, who has had a great camp according to reports, was tackled during practice today and left the field with an apparent ankle injury, had to be hobbled and helped off, and was not putting any weight on that leg. Indianapolis seems as though they might be without Josh Downs for some time. Shane Steichen was speaking to reporters after practice, saying that it was a concerning moment, but would not provide any further details on the injury at this time.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing about these training camp things. You know, in regular season, you have to be pretty transparent. You got to say what the injury is, how severe it is, and everything else. In preseason, there aren't rules for that. So, you know, we got that case and the case down in Miami as well with Waddle, which I'm sure we'll get to. So, yeah, that's why, though, Ben, I always say with these guys not playing in these preseason games, I mean, if you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt. I mean, it's simplistic to say, but to me, it's the truth. I mean, you could just as easily get hurt some of these scrimmages you're going up against teams or even drills with your own team as you can in a football game. So why risk it by playing them? I understand that, but you know, the thought of I'm not going to play my guy in a preseason game because he might get hurt, well, then don't practice him either if that's your philosophy.
Right. And that's part of it, Scott, right? Anytime you play football, anytime you play any sport, really, or do any physical activity, there is a risk of injury. You want to be as risk adverse as possible. And obviously, there are going to be times where you can put yourself in harm's way even more so. But football is a dangerous sport, point blank, regardless of where you line up. Unfortunate news for Josh Downs, who had a pretty solid rookie year for Indianapolis after being drafted in 2023, more than 770 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns, a part of an offense with Anthony Richardson in what is his de facto rookie year that was hoping to make some noise. We'll get to Jalen Waddle in just a moment, but Scott, this in the last 20 minutes out of the Atlanta Falcons, Rondale Moore, who was one of the offseason acquisitions to add to that Falcons offense under Kirk Cousins, is got an air cast on his right leg and is being taken to the hospital as we speak. Practice has been called there in Atlanta. So that is unfortunate for one of the new acquisitions for this Atlanta offense.
That's weird that they would, like, cancel practice. Listen, if the guy's got a busted ankle or busted leg, you know, that's bad. You know, it's disappointing, obviously, but they cancel practice, so it must have been something really severe.
Yeah, that's tough. I believe it's a joint practice right now between the Dolphins and the Falcons. We'll get confirmation that on the other side of the break, and some more injury updates from around NFL training camp as we continue. Live right here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. It's the unfortunate part of training camp and getting ready for a new NFL season. Injuries that creep up. We shared Josh Downs injured an ankle today at practice for Indianapolis. Had to leave the field early. Could not put any weight on that ankle after a strong rookie season in Indy. Scott, new acquisition for Atlanta this offseason. Rondale Moore, one of the pieces that we thought would flourish under new quarterback, Kirk Cousins, there in the ATL. A joint practice happening this week against the Miami Dolphins. It will be the Falcons and the Finns in Miami on Friday night in one of the 3 games that we have of preseason football on Friday. That's why the joint practice is happening. Rondale Moore had to exit practice, his leg in an air cast. Practice was called, I think, showing the severity and significance of this injury. Obviously, not a good sign for the Falcons or Rondale Moore.
Yeah. Listen, football is, it's such a tough sport, man. This is why you have the fight back of going to 18 games or 20 games, or, you know, the fight from going from 16 to 17. Even in practices, these guys get hurt. I don't know why that is. You know, you think these are the best athletes in the world, and all the vitamins and everything else they're able to take, that they would be completely healthy. But it's just, we see it all the time, all the time. Like I said before, that's why I'm hesitant on holding guys, because it's just I'm a big fake guy. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. You know, it's as simple as that. If you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt. You can't live your life just saying, okay, I'm not going to play a guy because I think he's going to get hurt. Like I said, otherwise you wouldn't be even practicing then. Well, what's the point? And then you got the case down in Miami, you know, with Jalen Waddle, same thing. You know, he's got a minor injury. Still no Odell Beckham Jr., oh, by the way. And I thought it was kind of weird reading the story about Waddle, Ben, that, you know, they're all telling us how great and how tough this guy is and he can fight through this and that, and then they say, well, but then he's going to sit out practice now because he's missed a couple of days and he's hurt. I'm like, if he's really that tough, then if he's that tough and he's still going to miss practice, then that tells me this injury is not anything minor. It's got to be something major for him to be missing time.
And Scott, you're right, because we don't need any game reports during preseason or injury reports for games upcoming, you don't have to give a lot of information. Mike McDaniel saying that both Jalen Waddle and Braxton Berrios, two of the wide receivers for Miami, are dealing with minor injuries. McDaniel did say the good news is it is nothing major, but we shall see. We don't really know. Back to Rondale Moore, a very talented wide receiver, a guy that could do it all, even back to his college playing day at Purdue, but injuries are part of his story with the Boilermakers. Injuries have been a part of his NFL career. He did play in all 17 games last year for Arizona before signing that offseason deal with the Falcons, and that's the disappointing part. One of the pieces of what was expected to be an explosive offense this year with Kirk Cousins guiding the way at the quarterback position. Any further updates, any definitive timelines that we know about Josh Downs or any of the other injuries, Rondale Moore in this case, we will, of course, let you know. Joint practices have been a subject of conversation this week, Scott, because we've talked about all the fights that happened at joint practices. That has certainly been on display in the Lions and Giants joint practices before their preseason opener tomorrow night in MetLife. It seemed like every day they lined up against each other over the span of 48 hours. Every 10 minutes, a practice fight was breaking out. So much so, Scott, that the NFL league office has fined both Detroit and New York, the Lions and Giants organizations, $200,000 each for multiple violations and those multiple practice fights throughout this week, reinstating, I guess, a memo that the NFL had shared out with its teams before training camp got underway, trying to limit any bit of that extracurricular fighting throughout these joint practices.
Yeah, listen, $200,000, I know, to an owner is chump change, right? But that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. The fear, Ben, is that, listen, as I told you yesterday, these officials, and again yesterday during the practice, they're not jumping in there trying to break things up. It's up to both sides to break up the fight. The officials are just standing there saying, all right, you want to go punch yourself and with fists, open fists and helmets and stuff, and risk breaking your hand, knock yourself out. So the risk is that this thing doesn't stop, you know, that you don't have peacemakers. And then all of a sudden, you got a 60-on-60 all-out brawl with no one there trying to prevent anything from happening. I mean, it's a dangerous situation. I know it's fun and it shows toughness and camaraderie and you're sticking up for your own guy and your teammates and all that other stuff, but it could lead to a very, very dangerous situation.
Yeah, all NFL clubs, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, were reminded in a memo sent last month that fighting and unprofessional conduct at joint practices would not be tolerated, and the NFL is not allowing it to be tolerated. We'll see if that bad blood spills over to the preseason opener between the Giants and the Lions tomorrow night. More preseason news around the NFL up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. Scott, some more news around the National Football League in terms of availability for preseason week one and really the entirety of the preseason around the National Football League. It informs your betting handicaps and just at least your general excitement and enjoyment of watching any of these games. Of course, yesterday we discussed at length Bryce Young being held out of the Panthers preseason opener tomorrow night in Foxborough against the Patriots. It legitimately moved the line by 2 points. It was a 4.5-point spread in favor of the Pats, now a 6.5-point number. I can almost guarantee you, Scott Wetzel, this will be the only time this season, preseason, regular season, or otherwise, the Patriots are laying near a touchdown in any football game. We also got some word out of San Francisco, outside of the Brandon Ayuk noise and situation. Christian McCaffrey dealing with a small calf strain is what they're saying for the 49ers, will be held out of all of preseason. Any more concern outside of that?
Well, there's always concern with McCaffrey, right? But I would think that even if it was minor, they would be saying the same thing. And sometimes they even make the excuse of, okay, he's banged up a little bit, so we're going to hold him out rather than just tell the world, okay, he's not playing. So I wouldn't be too worried. But again, because it's McCaffrey, you just never know. But it wouldn't be smart to play. This would be one case, you know, despite what I said about guys playing. This would be one where it would be dumb, right? Well, why in the world would you play Christian McCaffrey? With all the things that he does in a regular season, all the touches every single game, you know, 20, 25 touches, wouldn't make much sense outside of just trying to get him in shape. But you could do that in training, you know, in practice. So, no, I wouldn't be too worried about this.
And for the most part, during his time, Scott, at least the last 2 years, but with San Francisco, he has been mostly healthy. The offensive player of the year a season ago. He played 16 of 17 games last year. Everybody was held out in the Week 18 regular season finale. He played in all 11 of which he was traded to San Francisco the year prior. He has dealt with a few nicks and bangs and injuries throughout his time in San Francisco, but not like his final few years in Carolina, where in 2020 and 2021 he played a total of 10 games in 2 years. Not overly concerned, wasn't sure how much we would see Christian McCaffrey throughout preseason. And frankly, San Francisco has some other things they got to be dealing with at this moment. Another one though, Scott, because it is a calf strain, you don't really know exactly what that means. Giannis Antetokounmpo, for instance, as I talk about the NBA, had a calf strain to start off the postseason for Milwaukee that he suffered in the final week and a half of the regular season, and it seemed as though he would be back. He didn't play again for that season. So you never know. Calf injuries are always something that is difficult. It just takes time to heal up. Christian McCaffrey will have that throughout the preseason. Kyler Murray is fully healthy for Arizona, but the Cardinals will be holding Kyler out of preseason action. A wise decision, Scott, in the desert?
No, this is one I disagree with. I don't get that. You know, last year was just craziness with all the injuries and everything else you had last season with the first year head coach, and then now you start fresh. You pick a big time wide receiver in Harrison Jr. You know, you want to install the winning attitude. I don't agree with this one at all. I know he's coming off the injury, but you know, he played last season. He played the last month and a half. He's fine. He should be done that. So that shouldn't be a concern. Why wouldn't you want to throw him out there and get the offense rolling and stuff? To announce, okay, maybe game one, okay, but to say, as they did, as you mentioned, they sent out the entire preseason.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a little too cautious for me. When you're trying to install the winning attitude and everything else, it's not a veteran team, young team. I want to have guys go out there and have some success, even if it means you're going up against B players, not opposing teams' A players. You know what? That's okay. Go out there, Kyler. Go for 3 touchdowns. You know, let's get 20 points. Yeah. Go play a half. Get everyone acclimated to what we want to try and do here, and then we'll sit the second half. But to sit the entire preseason for Arizona, like you're a Super Bowl championship team, nah, I don't agree with that one.
Yeah, I don't either, Scott, frankly. And Arizona's an interesting team for me this year. When you look at the win total for the Cardinals entering this season, it's actually not as porous as maybe you would think for a team that was an underdog in all 17 games a year ago. 7.5, the number for Arizona. The win total has the juice on the under. But one of the reasons, Scott, I was so down on Arizona last year. I bet the under their preseason win total of 4.5. It was the lowest all around the National Football League. I think, in fact, they even had an alt team total under for the Arizona Cardinals a season ago, under 3.5, and they ended up going over that number as well. It was because Kyler Murray injured late in December. I think it was the week before Christmas of 2022. And with the ACL recovery that was necessary, I wasn't sure that Kyler Murray would be back at all in 2023, given how poor the expectation was for the Cards. Why rush him back to play in meaningless 4 games to end out the year? His recovery timeline sped up. He played in 8 games last year. He nearly played in half the season for Arizona and led the Cardinals to a 4-13 record. In the 8 games he played, they won 3 of those 5 for Kyler Murray. So when you look at what Kyler was able to do a season ago, listen, this was a guy that had some success. Obviously, was paid entering 2 years ago with a very large paycheck. You hope that's going to continue for Arizona this year. 10 touchdowns to 5 INTs. When he returned, the numbers weren't crazy in terms of passing yardage. But again, 3-5 in the 8 games that Kyler Murray played. And one of the reasons, Scott, I was optimistic about Arizona, at least based on expectation, not expecting the Cardinals to challenge in the NFC West or probably even for a playoff spot in the NFC. I love when teams that are consistently booked as an underdog cover numbers, because I think that is the most important point of improvement that you can see. Okay, we weren't expected to win a game, but we kept it closer than the odds makers expected. We keep that margin tight. Next year, it results in more wins, as we saw with the Lions from 2021 to 2022, and then of course, winning a divisional championship last year. And I think we could see a similar thing for Arizona. Last year, an underdog in all 17 games, 9-8 against the number. But part of that, Scott, is wanting to see Kyler Murray get those legs back under him in preseason. For the entirety of preseason, like you, seems a little bit strange to me.
Yeah, and they could be a halfway decent team, as you're saying, right? I mean, you look at their offense. You know, we kind of did this with Minnesota as well, but all right, you got James Conner, a very good running back, right? I consider above average. Marvin Harrison Jr., if he can come in and make an impact, pretty good. One of the better young tight ends in the NFL, and Trey McBride had a great year last year. So wide receiver core is a little thin after Harrison with Zay Jones and Michael Wilson, but it's not a bad little team. It's just, you know, I'm a competitor, Ben. No matter what I do, I've always been this way. If I'm on the field, I want to win. I hate the attitude of going on a field and really not caring. And I think, you know, benching a lot of your starters tells the rest of the team you really don't care about winning and losing. And are you going to play some of these other starters but not the quarterback? And does that create a rift? You know, is the backup quarterback Desmond Ridder and Clayton Tune going to be putting the other guys, you know, in a dangerous position because they're throwing the ball over the middle when you wouldn't do that? I mean, there's a lot of repercussions to just saying, okay, I'm not going to start my quarterback for 3 straight games.
For sure. Scott, I think it's a wonderful point, right? We discussed it in the Hall of Fame game last week when it was the idea of Caleb Williams, will he play or won't he play? Lisi and I and Donnie and I on the early line. And it's not just the singular individual at the quarterback spot, the most important position in football. It's the entirety of the starting offense. But you're not going to rest the entirety of the starting offense, you would think, for Arizona the entirety of the preseason. So you're putting them out there with a guy in Desmond Ridder you hope never takes a snap as the starter in 2024 if Kyler remains healthy. And you are having the success. It's a peculiar move in my estimation. Some of those preseason lines for the teams that we just mentioned. San Francisco plays on Saturday night. They take on the Tennessee Titans, a 5.5-point spread in favor of Tennessee in Nashville. It's the second highest spread of week number one of preseason action. Only the 6.5-point number in favor of the Patriots is a larger line. And then later on Saturday night, Arizona hosts the New Orleans Saints as a slight 1.5-point underdog. We'll talk a little bit more around training camp. It's got some news that was just handed down in the college football realm. Does it impact, though, the National Football League? That's Jim Harbaugh. It's not the sign-stealing scandal or a notice of allegation from the NCAA. It's COVID dead period recruiting violations, and the NCAA taking a very hardline approach to Harbaugh. We'll discuss next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. Scott, despite no longer being in the collegiate ranks, Jim Harbaugh has been involved in scandal after scandal, an NCAA investigation, and a lot of it has come to the surface this week. Of course, dating back to Sunday afternoon, it was the notice of allegation draft into the sign-stealing scandal and any potential discipline that will be handed down to the Michigan football program based on the sign-stealing operation that came to light last year, led by Connor Stallions. That is one thing. It is completely separate from what we are about to discuss in the NCAA releasing penalties for Michigan today. Again, this is not the sign-stealing operation. That will come, we think, here soon. This is for recruiting violations over a COVID dead period. A Division I committee on infractions determined former Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh violated recruiting and inducement rules, engaged in unethical conduct, failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance, and violated head coach responsibility obligations, resulting in a four-year show cause order. All right, Ben, I'm not a mathematician or exactly the most studious individual when it comes to reading NCAA jargon. What did you just say? Jim Harbaugh is in a lot of trouble from the NCAA for recruiting violations, and they have issued him a four-year show cause order, which is a punishment that will last 4 years. The natural question then is, Scott, does it matter? Is Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, is no longer in the collegiate ranks? If he were to return to college at any point during the four-year show cause order, from here through 4 years of an expiration date, he would be suspended for a full year. So if Jim Harbaugh, Scott, returns to college in the next four-plus years, he could face a year-long suspension. I think everybody in Los Angeles, Justin Herbert and the Chargers, hoping that will not be the case. And I think Jim Harbaugh will not be back in college in the next 4 years, maybe making what the NCAA has just issued a rather useless discipline.
Yeah, I mean, is this a case where the show, I'll read from the four-letter network, the show cause order covers 2024 through 2028. So that means after 2028, he's free to come back with no penalties? I mean, that doesn't make any sense, right? And then it also says that, okay, as you mentioned, the school that wants to hire him would have to suspend him for the first full season. Okay. But then it says after that, Harbaugh would then be barred from athletic-related activities, including team travel, practice, video study, and blah, 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 until the order expires. Now, I don't know how you could be a head coach if you can't be in athletic-related activities or team travel or practice. So to me, that says he's being suspended for 4 years. Maybe they shouldn't have wrote after that, but that's what the four-letter network says. So, but if it all stops after 2028 regardless, then what's the point? I don't think he's going to be going back to college. Listen, by the time he really wants to go back to college anyway, chances are pretty good the NCAA is not even going to be around. I think college football is not anywhere close to being finished on what it's going to end up, you know, 5 years from now. This is like they really don't like Jim Harbaugh. This is all pertaining to, right? They're all not alone, right? This is all pertaining to that he didn't cooperate with the NCAA, and to the point that they pissed off the NCAA so much that they're going to upgrade all the penalties to a level one situation, which is the show order cause. So, which is amazing because 2 days ago, Ben, we had Jim Harbaugh saying that he doesn't lie, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't steal, he's above board on everything. I grew up that way. I teach my players that way. And somehow or another, the NCAA doesn't buy into that, Jim.
So it's really interesting, Scott, because the NCAA hates Jim Harbaugh because of how much I think Jim Harbaugh hates the NCAA.
Yes.
He does not believe in the organization. He does not believe in its mission statement. He does not believe in its premise or how it has been the jurisdiction of college football and collegiate athletics for quite some time. So that's where I think Jim tries to find the loophole in his mind, if he even considers it a loophole, as he is a rather interesting and charismatic character, that he doesn't really see what he is doing as wrong because the NCAA is wrong and two wrongs don't make a right, you know, whatever the thing might be. So that's where I think Jim Harbaugh gets off with the idea that he's taught his family in every football program he has ever worked with. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. Regardless, that's for Jim Harbaugh. Now, for the actual punishment that could be handed down, a four-year show cause order, Scott, as you alluded to, is a four-year set date that if Jim Harbaugh were to return to college football, the punishment can be enacted. Beyond that, who knows at this point? If Jim Harbaugh returns to college football ever, I would be shocked. If Jim Harbaugh returns to college football in this four-year period prior to 2028, I would be absolutely stunned. And things have gone incredibly south and haywire during his return to the National Football League. I think the only reason, Scott, he ever left the San Francisco 49ers was to return his alma mater back to glory. He has done that in 2023. I don't know what else he would have left to accomplish at the collegiate level. And I think he's a really good organization builder and will have success in the National Football League. Now, there might be some, maybe the rivals of Michigan that do not like Jim Harbaugh, that would say, well, the NFL released a statement that as Jim was kind of in the rumor mill once again for a coaching job, that he could not take safe haven, perhaps, in the National Football League. And there was a precedent set by this. Jim Tressel, after the entire Ohio State scandal in terms of autographs for tattoos, we know that story now over a decade ago, he started working for the Indianapolis Colts as a video supervisor, and he was suspended by Indianapolis for 6 weeks. Roger Goodell came out and said that if Indy didn't do it, the league office would have issued a suspension. So could the National Football League step in as a disciplinary arm and offer up a punishment to Jim Harbaugh? Sure. Do I expect them to do that? No, I do not. Certainly not for recruiting violations, Scott. If something happened to the sign-stealing operation, maybe, but not for these recruiting violations.
Yeah, that is a good point, though. I didn't think about that. And Warren was an assistant coach, a notable one, but still an assistant. You know, but Harbaugh, you don't want to kill the golden goose. And right now the golden goose, for the NFL is Jim Harbaugh's return. So I'd be surprised if they tried to do anything like that.
And again, this is the recruiting violation, the on-field product that could result from any discipline in the sign-stealing operation. Could be a different story. Harbaugh has maintained he had no knowledge of that sign-stealing scandal. More on Football Full Circle comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Again, just a reminder for all of you out there, if you see that news headline hit your feed at any point that Jim Harbaugh was offered a four-year show cause punishment based on the NCAA's investigation into Michigan, we remind you it is not the sign-stealing operation. These are COVID dead period recruiting violations, and Jim Harbaugh basically making a mockery of the NCAA's legislative and disciplinary arm. They don't like him. He doesn't like the NCAA. Scott, some other news around the National Football League. Justin Fields.
I will say this, Ben. I will say this real quickly. Sharon, I'm looking at a report out of the Detroit Free Press. You know, Sharon Moore, the new head coach of Michigan, has got some issues as well. And supposedly they're looking into him. Supposedly he had deleted 52 text messages with Connor Stallions. So I was going to say before we got to break anyway, you know, you wonder how Michigan, the school, can get, separate itself from, you know, the Jim Harbaugh situation and all the other coaches that were all there. I mean, he's one of seven staffers more that's all being accused of cheating. I mean, I just find it comical that Harbaugh can sit there 2 days ago and say, no, we didn't cheat, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. But I think there's this punishment coming Michigan's way.
Yeah, big time. And Scott, that is a key wrinkle to any of the notice of allegation in terms of the sign-stealing operation. That, yes, Connor Stallions might have acted and spearheaded this operation. And sure, it might have been just recruiting staffers or interns or full-time staffers. It might not have been anybody involved in the actual coaching staff. Sharon Moore, Jim Harbaugh, Chris Partridge, any of them having full knowledge or involvement of this sign-stealing operation. But they could still, as a football program, as the NCAA NCAA has put out there be obligated to face discipline because they are considered a repeat offender, or that the coaching staff lost institutional control over its football program. It was part of the punishment that was just offered to Jim Harbaugh in terms of the dead period recruiting violations. So just because Harbaugh might not have been responsible or even knew if they can't prove their evidence was of the sign-stealing scandal does not mean that individuals from that or even current staff members like Sherrone Moore, the new head coach in Ann Arbor, are not going to face any discipline. We'll get to the notice of allegation draft and all that stuff when the actual notice of allegation is handed down. But Scott, just some news around preseason action in the National Football League. Mike Tomlin saying today that Justin Fields is going to start the week one preseason opener for the Steelers against the Texans, but Russell Wilson remains the starting quarterback in the Steel City.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that would be a big deal if it was, a backup quarterback that was a nobody, but it's something because it's Justin Fields. I mean, we got teams all around the NFL saying their starters aren't going to play, so somebody's got to play. So I think that's the case. And Tomlin made a point of saying that, set out the depth chart yesterday, his quote, Russell Wilson is number one. He makes no bones about that. So wouldn't be too concerned about that. More so health-wise for Russell Wilson, but not because it's Justin Fields trying to win the starting job.
Yeah, 3-point favored spread for the Texans as they travel to Pittsburgh on Friday night. One of the three games that we will have on Friday. Scott, there are odds available on the New Jersey FanDuel Sportsbook site that we can use for our own conversation. That would be, at least where things stand, the quarterback races around the National Football League. Although I say that, and now I can't find these odds, but I do remember earlier today, Russell Wilson still -345. As the favorite to start week number one for Pittsburgh, Justin Fields, the underdog. We talked about Bo Nix and coming in as the third string QB for Denver yesterday, but Scott, he was still a -162 favorite, that being Nix, to be the week one starter for the Broncos. And as we shared yesterday, his season-long passing yards prop that was available since the NFL draft for most of the offseason and into early training camp at 2850.5 has now been completely taken off the board.
Yeah, man, that's I wouldn't be laying -160 on anybody who's number three on the depth chart. I know that's subject to change, but I should be getting odds. That's like me not betting on horse racing because I'm getting 2-to-1 odds on a race that has had 10 horses in it. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, yeah, as a number three guy, I'm getting more than that. Falcons also said that Michael Penix Jr. is going to play a lot. Their words against Miami Friday, and Kirk Cousins might not play at all. So, which is interesting because the Falcons are 2.5-point favorites on the road against the Dolphins. So, boys in Vegas clearly think Michael Penix Jr. is a pretty good player.
I think that's a dangerous game, Scott, but you got to get something out of your investment, right? If he's not going to play at all in the regular season, but what happens if he goes out there and looks fantastic? Actually, I don't even know if there's a win-win in this situation. If he looks fantastic, it's like, should he be pressuring Kirk Cousins for the job? If he looks terrible, why spend a top 10 pick on the guy when you had a quarterback already in there? We'll have more of that conversation when Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.